And the Buddha gave the shortest summary of his awakening. It was a causal principle. When this is, that is. From the arising of this comes the arising of that. When this isn't, that isn't. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. Where the this and the that refer to things that are directly experienced. Neurons may be firing in your brain, but you don't experience the chemicals or the electric impulses. What you experience, it may be an intention or a perception. From the point of view of your experience, science talks about things that are far away, that are inferred. So it's a mistake to see the practice as a kind of science. There are some parallels. Just as a scientist conducting an experiment has to make a few assumptions about the power of action, that the scientist can change conditions and is responsible for the decision to change the conditions. And if a change in the conditions brings about a change in the results, you can assume that there's a connection between the two. All these things are assumed. The same way when the Buddha teaches, he says, try this, and then try something else. Compare the results. That's how he found his awakening. That's how he recommends that we practice. From that point on, though, the parallel breaks down. You can't run controlled experiments inside your mind. In other words, you can't tell part of the mind to do this at this time and another part of the mind to do something else at the same time. You can't go back to the same initial conditions. But the general principle that your actions will make a difference is one that's worth assuming. Because inside we have a problem that they don't have outside. When they look at your brain, it doesn't make any difference to the scientist whether your brain is suffering or not. But for you, as you practice, you feel the suffering inside, and it does make a big difference. In fact, they can't tell why you change your mind, or how you experience a perception, or you experience an intention. There are lots of things they can't tell about you from outside. But the big difference, of course, is that you're committed inside. Your actions will lead to results that you're going to experience. And if you're not careful about how you act, you can cause yourself a lot of suffering. That is an assumption, but it's an assumption worth making. Because if you assume that your actions don't make any difference, then you get very careless. And you don't really explore the possibilities of what human action can bring about. So you're committed. It's like that old distinction between the bacon and the bacon and the eggs in a breakfast. The chicken participates, but the pig is committed. You're committed. This is your mind. These are your choices. And you're going to reap the results. So if there's a possibility that you can bring about better results, it's worth trying. And so as the Buddha said, the important thing is to notice how this principle of causality works itself out in areas that you can directly experience. This is how we go from delusion to knowledge, or how we go from uncertainty to knowledge. You start with something simple, the breath. How you experience the breath is something no one else can know. This is one of the reasons why it's so difficult to talk about breath energies or how the breath is experienced in the body, because your experience may be different from someone else's. And we don't have much of a vocabulary in Western languages to describe this. I do have a student who has compromised lung capacity, and she has to have an oxygen monitor for her blood all the time. And she's discovered if she thinks of the breath going through the whole body, the oxygen level in her blood does go up, which is a curiosity. But the important thing is, how does it feel from the inside? Can you create a sense of well-being here? We spend a lot of time working with the body in the meditation. Some people get frustrated. They say, when are we going to work directly with issues of the mind, spiritual issues? Well, one, you've got to clean up the body first. It's like you've got a home that you're going to be living in. You've got to clean up your home first. And two, one of the big issues for the mind is its relationship to the body. We spend so much of our time worrying about the body. Nerve gets pinched in your spine, it can create a lot of pain. You can spend a lot of money and a lot of time trying to solve the problem. This goes wrong, that goes wrong. It takes a lot of energy. The older you get, the more you find these things start falling apart, and they don't ask your permission. And even before you get old, you have to eat. You have all these needs in terms of food, clothing, shelter, medicine that you got to take care of. And they can overwhelm you. So you want to clean up your relationship to the body. First in your attitude as to what's really useful about the body, what it's good for. Reminding yourself that it's good for the practice. And secondly, giving yourself a good place to stay, because the mind needs a solid place to stay, comfortable place to stay, if it's really going to see itself clearly. So I spend a lot of time working on how the body feels from within. Don't regard it as wasted time or a distraction. It's a necessary step in getting to know your own mind. Because of all the things in the world, what are you most attached to? You're most attached to the body. What do you live with 24/7? You live with the body. So develop the right attitude toward it. Develop a skillful way of interacting with your body. And so as you get to know the breath and the different parts of the body, and you learn how to, as the Buddha says, calm bodily fabrication, you can work more and more directly with the mind. It's like tuning a radio into a station. If there's a lot of static, you can't hear the signal. But when you've tuned things in just right, the static is gone. You can hear things clearly. In the same way, when the breath gets really, really still, then the events in the mind come to the fore. And in particular, you can look at the issue of why the mind creates suffering. Again, this might seem like a small issue to some people. They'd like bigger issues. But the fact of pain and suffering, the mind keeps pulling you back to this is where the mind's real concerns are. In fact, it's probably why we start thinking to begin with. We're in pain. We can't figure it out. So we try thinking. Why? Why? Why is this happening? And we look for a solution. First looking for other people to help solve the problem. And then we realize we've got to solve it ourselves. We have to get to thinking. You have to see how you're putting your experience together. So you're not dealing with abstractions. Again, this is an issue. Some people think that spiritual issues are very abstract. But this is not abstract. It's getting to see your mind in action as you directly experience it. Right here, right now. What does an intention feel like? How do you know that an intention is formed? How do you decide to go with an intention or not to go with an intention? How do you change your mind? What is it like to do these things? You're stepping out of your thoughts, out of the content, looking at them as processes. The more you do this, the more you begin to realize how much your experience of both body and mind and the world outside are things you put together. The sight comes into the eyes. And there's a lot of interpretation that has to go on. Getting a sense of the three-dimensional world around you. How that particular sight fits in with other things that you see. There's a lot of processing that goes on just to make sense of your visual field. All the other sensory fields require interpretation. And the mind itself, as it churns out its thoughts, raises a lot of questions. It requires a lot of cobbling together of answers. And so when you see how all of this is fabricated, you begin to wonder, how can you find happiness in something fabricated like this? And the mind begins to get more and more inclined to want to find stillness. So it turns more and more to the concentration. And at first the concentration seems very peaceful compared to everything else, to the point where you think it may be unfabricated. It's just there. Especially as you tune into deeper and deeper levels of concentration, with a sense of space, just a sense of knowing. Everything seems to come out of the knowing, go into the knowing, and the knowing is not disturbed. The same with the space. And a lot of people get deluded right here. They think they've reached the ground of being. It's so still and so pervasive. But it is fabricated. They've done tests, and they've discovered when certain areas of the brain are activated, there's a great sense of oneness. They call it the God spot, as if they answered, this is why people have religions, because of the God spot. And if the Buddha had you end up with just that sense of oneness, maybe they'd be right. But he keeps saying, no, there's more. This too is fabricated. As you experience it from within, you begin to realize that you put it together, you recognize it, you label it. There's an effort that goes into maintaining it. It may be very subtle, but it's there. And you can see that even this is fabricated, and you can see what you've done to keep it going. There comes a point that's hard to describe. You realize you can't stay there. If you want to get beyond the stress of that particular state, and you can't go someplace else, because everything else you're going to go to will also be fabricated. And so in that point, between the going and the staying, there's an opening. There's something that's totally unfabricated, totally unconditioned. An area where scientists can't go. Everything they know is all conditioned, but this is not. And that's where you find the solution to the problem, the question of why are we suffering, how can we stop? Well, this is how you stop. And once that question is answered, there's no other question that eats away at the mind. No other problems you can solve or try to solve. But this big problem has been solved. Your big problem has been solved. And it's been solved from within. This is why you might say the whole practice of the Dharma is an inside job. The problem is something that's sensed only from within, your suffering. And the solution comes from understanding how you experience things from within. And how you can clear away all the fabrications and find something unfabricated within. At that point, there are no more doubts. You might have questions about the world outside, but again, those questions don't have teeth. They don't eat away at the heart the same way the question of suffering eats away at the heart. And with nothing eating the heart, it can be whole. Something is truly deserving of being our goal.